Okay, my friends, here we are nearing the end of 2024. I remember when I was young, thinking that the year 2000 was just so far away, and here we are already, we're about to start 2025, and we just came out of Advent and have entered into the 12 days of Christmas. Did you know that? That in the Christian calendar year, we are in the 12 days of Christmas. And also, in Jewish culture, we have entered into the season of light called Hanukkah. And Advent was all about light. We lit all of those candles and, you know, and then we came to this beautiful candle, the Christ King candle. If you were here on Christmas Eve, we talked about light breaking forth in the darkness. I want you to pay attention to this candle for a second. This represents not only Jesus coming into the world, but it also represents us in Him and Him in us. Christmas and the advent of Christmas is actually meant to be like a crown that is worn on our heads, but a crown that we carry with us into every situation in life. Light in us, on us, through us. What does this candle on my head remind you of? Anyone? Who had light on their head? Who? Pentecost, Felix, yay! If I had candy, I'd throw it at you right now. Light, Pentecost, Jesus in the world, meant to be a crown on our heads, a light and a hope within us. Now, Jesus talked about light, and he talked about it shining brightly on a lampstand. We are in the season of light. Light continues. And he says that no one lights this and then hides it underneath something so that it doesn't shine. The candle is lit, or the light is turned on so that we can actually see. Correct? Psalm 27, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Have you ever driven down back roads late at night and the lighting on your car is adequate at best, but you know there might be something hiding in the shadows, and so you want to turn on the high beams so you can get a broader view? At that time, when you turn on the high beams, something happens within your state of driving. You become a little bit more attentive because you have more light, right? But you're less fearful of the thing that you cannot see. Okay. The Lord is my light, the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom then shall I dread? When we enter into fear, and when we enter into dread, because of our circumstances, we leave the light hidden. And therefore, I cannot see adequately. And my imagination runs after things in shadows. Are you tracking with me? I'm sure I'm not the only one who goes to these places sometimes. Verse 13, left without the light, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I remembered my candle. I brought out my light. I turned on my high beams, and I would have despaired of the thing hidden in the shadows had I not believed in the goodness of God that I would see it by shining the light. Where? In the land of the living. In my earthbound circumstances. Verse 14. Therefore, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. This is where I'm starting today. I'm starting in Psalm 27 with this picture of light. And if I could turn off all the lights and, you know, close all the blinds and make it dark in here, this would be even more effective. But you have all been in darkness at one point in your life. You know what it's like to be scared of things in the shadow, even when the lights are on, because your imagination has gone wild. Circumstances over your lifetime have made you so familiar with fear and dread that it's easy to get in a place of unrest based on our circumstances. We can look at 2024, we can look at wars, we can look at rumors of wars, we can look at broken relationships, we can look at death and devastation, and we can be scared. It's easy for us to camp there, very easy to look at difficulty and camp there. But we also have a choice where we can actually turn on the lights. I want us to turn to Proverbs 11, verse 27. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. I'm going to say that again. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. In the Message, it reads like this: the one who seeks good finds delight. The student of evil becomes evil. The one who seeks good finds delight or seeks favor. The student of evil becomes evil, or the student of evil, evil will come to him. Jesus told a story about light being within us, and if the light within us is darkness, how deep is that darkness? He also came to tell us that he is the light of the world. And that in him and through him, he has come not to judge the world, but to give it life and life abundantly, right? It's very easy for us to focus on the negatives in our lives. We turn our attention to them for a second, and they will monopolize and grow in our imagination, in our hearts, and in our emotions. As soon as we do that, we have turned off the light or dimmed down the light of Christ within us. But when we turn to the light or walk in the light or carry the light as a crown, something different unfolds. How many of you get nervous with the unknown, if you're honest? Yeah. Do you know what's happening tomorrow? How about tomorrow's tomorrow? We don't know what the end of 2025 is going to look like. Never mind its beginning. And that, for some people, can be scary, especially if they've encountered disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But when we shift our attention to the light of Christ within us, we are able to see the goodness of God. During our announcements, I said, I could talk to you about all things Portuguese. I needed a Nigerian to tell me about all things Nigerian. Okay? So here's the reality. I am a Portuguese Canadian. I live in Canada. I understand Canadian culture very well. Nobody has to educate me on Canadian culture. I've got the t-shirt on it. I've been branded with it. I've grown up here. However, I am also a Portuguese citizen. Now, while I'm not in Portugal all the time, when I turn my attention to Portugal, it's very easy for me to, when I focus on it, start thinking in Portuguese. And then when I focus on it, it's hard for me to find English. It disappears. I can think about all things beautiful in Portugal and I can smell it. I can think about all things tasty and savory in Portugal and I will desire it. Okay? I am a Portuguese Canadian. I carry both passports and my Portuguese citizenship gives me privileges when I enter Europe. I don't have to stand in the lines, everybody else does. I can just quickly go through the EU line and enter in very quickly. I don't have to wait in the long lineups of customs to verify what I'm bringing in, who I am, what I've got, what I don't have, how much money, nothing. I get special privileges as soon as I enter into Portugal because of my Portuguese citizenship. On top of that, there are things that my children get access to that maybe you know nothing about. Like, for instance, the government in Portugal right now is eager to have their young people come. And so any one of my children or my grandchildren could go to Portugal and study in Portugal in university in Portugal for free. Did you know that was available to every Portuguese citizen or descendants of Portuguese citizens? Their education is free. All they have to do is show up and then they can just do their living expenses. That's a great gift. A lot of Portuguese people don't know that. There are other benefits to being Portuguese. If I own property there, I'm instantaneously a citizen. The medical system there is given to me just like it is here. I can choose if I want private medicine, but it is accessible to everybody. And so these are different attributes or traits that allow me to function in Portugal with this sense of belonging. We are dual citizens. We are earthbound right now, but citizens of heaven. And there are things that are accessible to us in heaven, should we choose to use them. Free. We get special privileges, one of which is walking straight into Father's presence. Not having to strive for it. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to be checked out to see whether or not we qualify. Another thing that is accessible to us is no matter where we are, Jesus is with us. Whether we're in heaven or whether or not we're earthbound. There are other privileges that he gives us. And some of them look like this. We are called the beloved of God. Saints, according to Romans, and grace and peace is ours. We are sanctified, declared holy, saints by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, according to 1 Corinthians, and grace and peace are ours. We are the church. According to 2 Corinthians, the church of God. And grace and peace are ours. We are considered churches, according to Galatians, houses being built up. And grace and peace are whose? Ours. Okay. In Ephesians, we are called saints. Did you get that? Faithful in Christ Jesus, and grace and peace, you haven't caught on yet, are ours. Okay, but we are also saints, overseers, and deacons, part of his body, part of his authority structure, leaders in the house, and grace and peace are ours. Okay, good, beautiful. All right, according to Colossians, we are saints. Faithful brethren in Christ, we are of one family, and grace and peace are ours. Yep, okay. In 1 Thessalonians, we are the church. We are in God the Father. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace and peace are ours. According to 2 Thessalonians, we are the church. Oh, they want us to really get this. In God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our? Okay. But that's not all. We are called of Jesus Christ, enriched in everything, in speech, all knowledge, in testimony, lacking no good gift, confirmed to be in the end blameless in the day of Christ. We are comforted in all things so that we can abundantly comfort through the comfort in which we have received. We are rescued from this present evil age by the will of God our Father. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, chosen from the foundations of the world, holy and blameless before him, adopted in love through Christ Jesus, predestined. We are the praise of his glory. Say, I am the praise of his glory. Go for it. Oh, you sound so convincing. I am the praise of his glory. You are the praise of his glory and grace. You are beloved. You are redeemed. You are forgiven lavishly. Ooh, but that's not it. You are participants in his gospel. And you love towards all saints. You are faithful workers. Laborers of love, steadfast in hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his presence, and steadfast in God the Father. You are in his presence. Beloved brethren, knowing his choice of you, enlarging in your faith, and growing in a greater love towards one another. And all of this in grace and peace. That's intense. That's intense. But we often forget this list. And all I did was go, Romans to Thessalonians. Look at what Paul said in the first 3 to 5 verses. Really, this is who we are. This is part of our inheritance. This is part of our citizenship in heaven. And when we walk in this, remember this, actively pursue this, function in it, we carry light into all situations. It's like turning on the high beams and being able to see what's ahead of you. And all of it in grace and peace. How many of you can honestly say that you function in grace and peace regularly? How many of you can say that you have never feared in your life? Fear is no longer a part of who you are. Because where fear is, peace is not. Right? Naturally, our first instinct is to run to these chaotic storms within us. However, our real life is in Christ, that long list I just read, and not in our circumstances. Where's your real life? In Christ, in that long list, and not in your circumstances. So therefore, we have a choice. We have a choice as to what will overwhelm us. We can be overwhelmed by our circumstances, or we can be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Okay? Let's turn to Numbers, shall we? Remember what Proverbs said, those who seek good find delight, but those who seek evil become evil. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to set up this story in Numbers. Perhaps you remember the Israelites who were sold into slavery, were then released by massive movement of God, parting waters, like all these signs, you know, 10 signs that was enough to like blow your mind. Acts of God. Nobody could actually reproduce. Okay? They get into the wilderness being led to a promised land. Citizenship somewhere else. A land that they occupy. A land that belongs to them. Imagine with me if you would. You've packed your bags. You've got your suitcases packed. You're going on a vacation, right? You're going back to the land of promise for you. For me, it would be Portugal. Pack my bags. Whoo! Right? For us collectively as children within Christ Jesus, we are collectively on a journey daily. Daily. Packed our bags. And we are moving towards heaven. Our citizenship is there. We begin to think like heaven. We begin to speak like heaven. We begin to feel like heaven. We begin to shine like heaven. We begin to sing like heaven. Joy is about us. Hope is about us. Peace and grace are about us. And love, love aboundingly to all of humanity, the whole earth. We are the bearers of good news, and we're inviting other people along on the journey. Quick, pack your bags. I've got some good news. There's this place over here, and it's awesome. There's great stuff going on over here. The Israelites were on a journey to a promised land. And Moses had sent out 12 spies, one spy for every family clan, to the promised land to go check it out. And while they were there, does anybody know for how long? Take a guess. 40. Who knows what the number 40 means? Anyone? Testing. 40 days, they are tested. The number 4 means to rule and to reign. The number 10, which is a measurement, means to be weighed out to find out whether or not it is effective in its ruling and reigning. Okay? So now you have the number 40. It's a test. 40 days they are in the promised land, walking through the promised land. For 40 days they are looking at the land, and it's promised to be a land of what? Milk and honey. Milk is nourishment. Okay? Honey is healing. So it is a place of nourishing and healing. And a promise has been made to them, this land of milk and honey. They go in, 12 spies, they check out the land, and just before they're about to return, they actually get this one cluster of grapes. One cluster of grapes. Now you go to the grocery store and you pick them up, they're about maybe this big. This thing was so big that it took 2 men to carry it on a pole. Can you imagine how big that is? It probably weighed as much as I do. Okay? And so this huge thing of grapes, and they come with some other things, beautiful pomegranates and also figs, fruit of the trees that are in that land. They carry this thing back to the people who were waiting in the desert. At nighttime, they had the presence of fire, the presence of the fire of the Lord encamped in the center of them. His presence was with them. And during the day, they had the cloud that was concealing them from the hot sun and shielding them from the elements of life, okay? The presence of God in the midst of them. He hadn't left them. He was there right with them. And so, this is what happens in this story. Starting in verse 27, they've come back. Thus they told him, Moses, and the people, and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this here, this cluster of grapes, is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs." For the one who seeks good finds delight. But the student of evil becomes evil. Caleb and Joshua were two that anchored into the promises that God had for them. And in so doing, despite the difficulties that they saw, they could hold on to those promises and they rose up within them. They sang a song that said, "Hey, yeah, these guys are there, but don't worry about it. The reality is, we've got a light. And that light is going to shine on that darkness. And those things that look large and looming and scary, they're nothing for our God. We will surely overcome them." But they 10, they hid this thing down here. And they walked away from the light. And they focused on the evil. "But you don't understand. I've got every reason to camp in despair. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I've done. I've cried out to God before. He doesn't answer." Have you ever camped there? I have. The longer we stay in evil, evil is drawn to us. The more we magnify it. What you stare at, you magnify. If you want to be a person of grace, study grace. Live in grace. If you want to be a man or a woman of peace, study peace. Live in peace. But to do both requires one thing, humility. We must take off pride. We must strip it off us at all costs and fling it away from us. We must not stand in pride because pride will keep us in fear. Pride will keep us frustrated, disconnected, feeling isolated and alone. Pride will keep us in our addictions. Pride will keep us feeling like failures. Pride will rob you of your hope. Pride will keep you in the negative, evil lens. But humility that stands on things like, I am beloved. I belong. Christ is in me. I am in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't understand the pain that I'm going through, but I know that you will comfort me, Lord, and out of this, I will rise a comforter to others. I will say this. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people, but I know this. God chooses good people to stand in bad situations. I don't know why I was abused as a little girl. But I know that today I've been a comfort to many who have been. I've given hope to many who have felt lost and trapped in that cage of despair. And I wreak havoc on the enemy who tried to touch me in the first place. And out of that situation, I have become stronger. In Christ, he has lifted my head. I have beheld the one who loves me so deeply, and there is nothing that no one can actually do to tell me any different. I am defiant to that fear from here on in. I am defiant to that lie. And that makes me a safer person. I'm not perfect. I'm working on it. But it makes me a safer person today than I was at 9 years old when fear was so rampant within me. The light is shining bright in the darkness. You know what happened to these people afterwards? What happened was that they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and evil and wickedness it was called, because they chose not to believe in Christ. We are dual citizens, that of earthbound function, but that of heavenly breaking in presence and kingdom. So we must understand that because our real identity is in Christ and not in our circumstances, we can never really lose our life in Christ. However, we can always become unaware of it. We can never lose our real identity in Christ, but we can choose to become unaware of it. There is a reality in Christ Jesus that is absolutely yours, but you can function in an earthbound system that makes you absolutely unaware of it. So in 2025, my challenge to all of us, myself included, because I'm not perfect, I'm working on this, okay, is to become more aware with intention towards God's goodness. What does that mean? It means that daily I will focus on the light. Daily I will declare the light into who I am in Christ. Daily I will carry the light with me. And any time that I feel chaos emotionally, I'm going to go, where did I put my light? Where did I leave it? Where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay, here's my light again. All right, Lord, I am beloved. You are with me. I am in you. You are in me. Nothing separates us. You give me all knowledge, all wisdom. I lack nothing. Every spiritual gift is in me and accessible to me. And I start declaring the scripture and camping there and resting in that and waiting. And I am assured of his presence. But all of that takes stopping. It takes real intentionality to actually choose. We can choose to tune in to AM stereo or FM stereo. We can choose to tune in to abiding love, abiding fruit, abiding presence, or we can tune in to fear. But we cannot listen to both. So in 2025, if you want to mature in your relationship with the Lord, if you want to grow beyond the frustrations of the circumstances of the past, if you want to be more present to God and see him move, then you must tune in to the abiding station, abiding presence, abiding word daily. Or you can do what is insane and keep spinning on that hamster wheel you've been running on for a very long time, or the same track you're running into over and over and over and over again, hoping for different results. 2025, the word that we are hearing is fresh fire. Fresh fire for 2025. But fire burns. It purifies. And when it does burn, there's nothing like a forest fire. That actually, after it burns through, the ground is so much more rich. The fertile ground then springs up, and the lushness that grows in that place is phenomenal. And so, fresh fire means that we must abide in the light. Tune in to the Holy Spirit regularly. Practice his presence. Be intentional to remember God's goodness, God with us, God in us, us with God. And then ask him, what part of your circumstances is he redeeming and what part is he restoring? So I challenge you to practice his presence, turn on the lights, access his promises, stand in them, because who you are in Christ is greater than he who is in the world. Amen.